Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Thursday, October 26th. About one-third of Colorado cities and towns are holding elections on November 7th. The most common question voters will face is whether to allow their community to explore other options for receiving broadband. Benta Berkland has more.
State law requires cities and towns that want to consider other ways of getting broadband to first ask voters. Kevin Balmer is the deputy director of the Colorado Municipal League, which advocates for cities and towns at the state capitol. He says 69 cities have already passed similar questions.
Just a continuation of the theme we've seen all along. Folks aren't happy with their existing broadband service. They want to empower their local government to explore other options,
such as a public-private partnership with the city owning the infrastructure, or in some cases, the city providing broadband. Even with pushback from the telecom industry, all of the previous elections on the issue have so far been successful. I'm Benta Berkland.
And in a follow-up, election ballots are already being cast through the mail all around the state. According to a press release from the Secretary of State, as of October 24th, Delta County voters have mailed in 1,300 ballots. Montrose County has returned 2,876 ballots, and Mesa County voters have cast 8,463 votes already. Six counties have no elections at all: Cheyenne, Dolores, Grand, Hinsdale, Mineral, and Washington County voters won't need to fill out a ballot this fall. And for the first time since 2009, there is no statewide issue on the ballot this fall. The transportation sector is the largest source of carbon pollution in the United States. A new poll indicates that a majority of Colorado voters, including Trump supporters, support higher standards for pollution control. Eric Galatis has this story.
As the Trump administration takes steps to roll back the corporate average fuel economy, or CAFE, standards, a majority of Coloradans, including 59% of Trump voters, support making vehicles more fuel efficient, according to a new poll by Greenberg Quinlan Rosner Research. Garrett Garner-Wells with Environment Colorado says voters understand that when vehicles get more miles per gallon, they end up paying less at the pump.
We're not only tackling one of the number one threats to our climate here in Colorado and beyond, but the typical Colorado family would save $2,700 a year by 2030 thanks to these standards.
According to the Union of Concerned Scientists, the CAFE standards are also projected to reduce climate pollution by 280 tons by 2030. Wells notes this would be good news for the 400,000 people with asthma in Colorado who are frequently at risk due to elevated smog and ozone levels. The auto industry has welcomed rolling back standards. It argues that low gas prices have made it harder to reach CAFE goals because drivers have less incentive to switch from SUVs to electric vehicles. Elizabeth Senna with the firm that conducted the poll says in five so-called swing states, including Colorado, a combined 73% of registered voters want to see cars get at least 40 miles per gallon by 2025, even if it means their new vehicle could cost a little more.
Regardless of demographics, millennials and seniors alike, men and women, whites and people of color, across partisanship, there really is support.
In August, EPA Administrator Scott Pruitt reopened the CAFE standards for review, which could be a first step for rolling them back. The poll was commissioned by the Sierra Club, Next Gen America, and the Natural Resources Defense Council. This is Eric Galatis reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
Sandra Lopez is a Silt resident who is seeking sanctuary with a Carbondale church. She is now the fifth person to do this in the state, making Colorado the nationwide leader in number of immigrants seeking sanctuary in a place of worship in order to avoid deportation. From Rocky Mountain Community Radio Exchange member Aspen Public Radio, Wyatt Orm filed this story.
Lopez and her two-year-old daughter will live in the basement of the parsonage belonging to Two Rivers Unitarian Universalist.
No lo sé cuánto tiempo me lleve. No sé si pueda salir.
She doesn't know when she'll be able to leave, but this, she says, is her best chance to stay in the U.S. She was reported to Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, after an arrest in 2010. Those charges were dropped, and she was granted a stay of removal. ICE recently rescinded the stay, meaning she can now be deported. Even though she's in sanctuary, ICE can still arrest her, but the agency is known to avoid sensitive areas like churches and schools. Lopez is one of five people in Colorado currently in sanctuary. Wyatt Orm, Aspen Public Radio News.
According to a press release, a broad coalition of groups filed a complaint challenging the Bureau of Land Management's recent decision to allow the oil and gas development by SG interests on Bull Mountain. The master development plan calls for 146 wells, up to 33 new well pads, and 4 new wastewater disposal wells to be drilled in the area about 30 miles northeast of Paonia in the North Fork Valley. The master plan consists of approximately 19,670 acres of federal and private subsurface mineral estate. The coalition filing the complaint includes 4 citizen and conservation groups representing local farmers, ranchers, vineyards, wineries, recreationalists, property owners, residents, and local businesses. The groups seek declaratory and injunctive relief from the BLM for failure to include a reasonable range of alternatives and/or failure to take a hard look at the proposal's cumulative impacts under the National Environmental Policy Act. The groups challenging the Bull Mountain decision include the Center for Biological Diversity, Citizens for a Healthy Community, High Country Conservation Advocates, and Wild Earth Guardians. They are represented by the Western Environmental Law Center and the Center for Biological Diversity. Finally today, in a story we've been covering on the KVNF Regional Newscast, Colorado Parks and Wildlife has completed its draft elk management plan for the Gunnison Basin. According to a press release, Parks and Wildlife solicited input from the public during the past year. More than 600 hunters, landowners, and members of the public provided comments through public meetings and online surveys. Based on that input and available data collected, Parks and Wildlife is recommending that the elk population in the Gunnison Basin increase by 17%. Biologists want to group the animals in the 3 game management units of the Gunnison Basin into one herd, referred to as the West Elk Mountain Herd. The public now has 30 days to comment on the draft plan, which is available for viewing on the Parks and Wildlife website. The draft plan will go to the Colorado Parks and Wildlife Commission in January and March for review and final approval. And that was your KVNF Regional Newscast for Thursday. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks so much for listening.